Good time. We'll call the meeting to order. Madam Secretary, would you be kind enough to do the roll call?
Regent Bell.
Present.
Regent Robbie.
Present.
Regent Dennison.
Present.
Regent Hammond.
Present.
Regent Ham.
Here.
Chair Milliken.
Here.
Regent Nichols.
Present.
Regent Spiller.
Present.
Secretary Thomas. Vice Chair West.
Here.
Regent Kurtz.
Here.
11. Everybody's here.
Looks like we have a full complement. The first item of business is an executive closed session, and I will therefore entertain a motion that the board go into closed session as provided by KRS 61-810 subsection 1 for discussion of proposed or pending litigation against or on behalf of the university. I'll entertain such a motion.
So moved.
Have a motion to have a second.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. We are in closed session. We are back in session. The board has now returned to open session. The discussion and deliberations during the closed session were restricted to those stated in the motion. No formal action was taken by the board in closed session. All right, the first item on the agenda is the Academic Affairs Committee. Dr. Bale.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and we have all members present. We have several items to discuss, and we have our venerable provost with us to bring those items. So,
sure.
Provost Fisher, if you don't mind.
Thank you very much. The first item is approval of an academic program suspension, the minor in computer information systems. And Evelyn Thrasher here, Dean Thrasher is here to talk about that.
Sure. Yes. So you may remember that you recently, over the past few months, approved both a bachelor's program in data science and a certificate in artificial intelligence and data analytics. With the declining demand for the CIS minor, this allows the AIS department to refocus those resources toward the certificate and the data science bachelor's, with ultimate goal of a master's in data science and a PhD in data science. So just a better restructuring and use of the resources around that program, and just continuing to modernize what you're offering.
Very good. Anyone have any questions?
Make a motion.
So moved.
Okay. Motion.
Second.
By Regent Spiller and a second by Regent Kurtz. Any further discussion, comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, like side. Motion passes. Gary, you have a question, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
The second is approval of another academic program suspension, the AA and organizational supervision. Dean Murphy?
So the AA and organizational supervision was originally known as the AA in business studies, and it caused some challenges for our folks and partners in Gordon Ford related to AACSB, but it was also a holdover from University College, which was actually a holdover from when we had a community college. And so through several iterations of program review, inclusive of our faculty and looking at numbers and purpose of degree, there's really not a purpose for that particular degree program at our institution at this time. There's not a demand for it, and so we're just choosing to close this program. It has no impact on resources, and program closure is consistent with what SACS is expecting for program closure. So announcements have been made, and students are in good stead to finish out the program. We're asking to close it.
Did you have any students still in
there? No, we did not. So when we changed the name of it, it was not I was not a known entity. What does organizational supervision mean to a high schooler? Not much, so here we are. Not sure what it means to me either.
Thank you. Any questions? If not, entertain a motion for action item 2.
So moved.
CJ,
I'll second.
Regent Spiller, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Action item 3.
Great. Approval of a professional and technical writing graduate certificate. Dean Brown.
Good afternoon, everyone. In our Department of English, we see a lot of growth in different areas. And as we look at professional and technical writing, it is an area of growth opportunity for us to be able to train individuals to write towards different acclimates in professional settings and business, et cetera. And we found a lot of interest in this area. We have faculty who are poised and ready to do so. And we think it's a growth opportunity for us at the college.
I would also say it's one of the areas that, as you talk to employers, they would love to have students who come out who can write in those areas, various areas.
And hopefully write something that would be differentiated from whatever the chats or AI produce.
I hope so.
Any questions, comments?
Dave Brown? My one question about that is kind of on that same point of the ChatGPT kind of thing that's taking over. What are some of the actions that are going to be put into place to ensure that this degree is 100% human-generated and not AI? Because, I mean, I've seen even in my classes, you can really argue that even if you did do something AI that, you know, I did it myself, you know, like how can you say this is not me type thing? So is the majority of this professional and technical writing kind of certification going to be done through like in-class assignments? Is there kind of active conversations taking place to make sure that this is not a ChatGPT will agree? Because I do agree that I think that with the increase of AI that a lot of employers would be thinking that, man, I would love a student that can actually write for themselves. But is it going to be pretty rigorous to make sure, I guess, that actually happens? Because that's just my one question.
Yeah. Yes, good question. Most of our programs, of course, academic rigor is always at the top priority. I will say also that ChatGPT and other AI-generated platforms are only as good as the prompts that you could write for them. So if you cannot write a prompt that will be in a professional writing setting, then it's not going to generate the kind of product that you need. So I will probably say, yes, there may be a point where we start to integrate the usage of AI in professional and technical writing. I say that won't happen, but in the beginning, we definitely want to make sure that we teach people to write individually in professional settings, but also if they get to a place, how to write professional prompts to be able to generate.
I would also add that we've been working on this with CITL and a faculty group across campus for probably almost a little over a year at this point, and we will have a set of guidelines out and places where it can be used. You will see a set of guidelines that will be used to limit the uses and start to teach people what are the right uses and what are the uses that you can't use, and flow charts and all kinds of stuff. We were working on it just Monday with the committee. So we are headed, and hopefully we'll have all that in place as we start in the fall.
Will this be an online certificate or something you have to take fully in person, or will it be like a hybrid?
Yeah, right now we have it, so it's in more face-to-face instruction, but I'm sure that we can get more modalities as we can treat staffing as well. I'm also going back to the AI point. There are several indicators that you can notice with AI. It likes certain words and certain structure that you tend to recognize as a faculty member to find out if it's generated AI or not without even using a AI checker.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd just like to follow up on that just a little bit. I've been contacted by employers who are now looking for people who are experts in using AI to do some of these things. And, you know, recognizing our role as an institution of higher education. I know, because, you know, Sam was in my class this last term, and we talked about the use of AI, and it was, as we showed in many things, AI is a predictive modeling thing that does probability statements based upon what is fed into it. You've got to have the expertise. You know, as an institution of higher education, our role is to educate people to be able to understand what's coming out of AI may or may not be accurate. And getting people past the cut and paste, which we have to do, and understanding we have a technological challenge here, but we actually have to be the leaders in what comes out of this, because AI is just a tool. It may be transformative in how it changes jobs, but we have to be leaders in helping people be on the front of that transformation. So we'll continue to wrestle with that and hopefully take leadership on it.
Well, I think that's where we are. I mean, I think we're one of the institutions that, as you look out there, that have had those conversations for a significant amount of time and have also added information literacy to that, right? Because you really have to understand to determine whether or not what AI has generated is really real, or even if the references are real, because lots of times the references aren't real and some of the numbers aren't real. So there's really a teachable moment, as I would say, when you're doing this, and we all have to be on the same page. So we have spent a year trying to get to there, but we will be there by fall.
Cool. Okay. Thank you. Entertain a motion.
Number four is the approval of the substitute. Oh, sorry.
I have a motion from Helm, and I'll second. Second. Spiller. Any further discussion or comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Thank you.
Number four is approval of substance use disorder undergraduate certificate. I don't know if anybody is here, but it's an undergraduate certificate that's designed to prepare individuals with the...
It's me.
Oh, that's right. I did. We were just talking in the hall, so I'm on a roll so far.
Yeah. It is no problem. I do want to share some details. So it is an 18-hour undergraduate certificate. We developed it in response to workforce needs for substance use treatment across our state. As most of you are aware, we are in an opioid epidemic with a few thousand people dying each year of drug overdose in Kentucky. So this certificate will allow current practitioners to come and get continuing education that counts toward their credential for the state of Kentucky, as well as providing education for our current undergraduate students. And those could be from sociology, psychology, any, you know, social work. It's in the social work department, but it could be any of those majors that are related to the human services fields. So I think it really dovetails nicely, too. We have a master's certificate in addictions education counseling, and so this can also lead to that. So anyway, I don't know if you all have questions.
Good questions, anyone? Definitely a needed program out there. Too good a presentation.
Yeah,
she was here.
I'll entertain a motion for approval of the substance use disorder.
Make a motion.
Thank you, CJ. And
second.
Second, Richard Kurtz. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign.
Number five is approval of emeritus appointments. We have 13 appointments on the list. All of the individuals on the list have made significant contributions to WKU and to the students and to the ability of WKU to be a quality institution. I won't go through the list. You were provided a list. We will go through the list when we come back in the next meeting. And we will invite the faculty to be here as we always do. And at that point, they can toot their own horn because they know exactly what they did on campus. I'll just introduce them, but all well-deserving.
Very good. We need a motion on the emeritus. Motion from Regent Spiller. Second. CJ.
All right.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, like aye. Yes. All right. I think you have a...
I do. A couple of information items have come in before or after this was put together that I think I would like to share with the board at this point. One is, I would like to talk about Gilman Scholars. We've talked about them before in the last round, which would have been the round in March. We had 24 WKU students get Gilman Scholars. That's more than all institutions in Kentucky together again. And what you see is our selection rate is 54% as compared to the national selection rate of 21%. So we continue to do a great job. And when you look at year 24-25 for Gilman Scholars, 41% of all Gilmans awarded to students went to Kentucky colleges, and we had 43 of the 104, so almost half. So we continue to do a great job. We had two Goldwater Scholars this year, which is huge. If you don't know, there were only five in Kentucky, and we had two of the five in Kentucky. And there's only been a total of 30 Gilman Scholars since 1989. So we are doing great. Charles Uland is a rising senior and studying chemistry and computer science is one. And the other one is Asa Ashley, who will become a Gatton Academy, who has became a Gatton Academy graduate as of tomorrow, I think. So both of them have done a great job. They get a significant amount of financial support to continue on. We've also had, I went back and couldn't find a ton of them, which was a DAD Rise. It's a German program where a student gets to go to Germany and work in a national lab on research. And that's really a really great opportunity for the student. And the student is Cole Meter, who will be there. And he will be in Germany for the whole summer. So that's what he will be working on. Additionally, there's some other really cool things that happened. Dental hygiene, for the second year in a row, had 100% pass rate on their boards, which is great and continues to go on.
Yes, that's awesome.
In addition, I would never leave off the forensics team, which won a national championship for, I don't know, the 175th time, as far as I can tell. I mean, that's a given. Usually when April comes around, they are amazing, and they did another amazing job at the last national championships. And to finish, Zach Serrano, in the Department of Earth, Environmental, and Atmospheric Sciences, won an NSF career grant. Just to give you some ideas, it's the first ever career grant given to a faculty member on this campus. So amazing. And this is only the third NSF career awarded to an individual or faculty member outside of the R1 in this state. So it's a huge deal, and as people have said, it's the most prestigious award presented by the National Science Foundation. It kickstarts your research into the future, and you are a star. And we are lucky to have them. So those are the information items that came in before, came in after we had this put together.
Very good. Comments from anyone? I think more than ever, it is worth noting that American universities and the research that's done on those universities is central to the success of America over the last couple hundred years. And to think that some of that research goes on right here is definitely worth noting and encouraging and continuing.
And exciting to see students who want to still be in that area.
I'm going to put Dean Thrasher on the spot for just a second. I'm sorry. I think another important thing that we have made an effort to do is to bring in outsiders and be as much part of the community as we can. And she recently organized an advisory board. You'll have to tell us how many people, but had your initial meeting with this group that you put together.
Yes, sir.
And maybe tell people briefly just what that was like.
Sure. So we revived our business advisory board. We've had a very active one in the past. COVID sort of put a lot of those kinds of things on hold. We revived the group. We have currently 17 members. My goal is to get us to about 25 so that when not all can be present, we still have a good group. Craig Browning is chairing the board for this year to help us restart.
We had an excellent spring meeting. We have representation from most industries. We have representation from all over the country, from as close as Bowling Green to California. Most are alum, but many are not, and are truly just business leaders in their industries who are interested in helping us move things forward. So we're in the process of forming some committees around student engagement, development, and curriculum. Those committees will be meeting over the summer, and we'll continue to build our board. So I will put a plug in. If you or others that you know are interested in that type of board work and really working hand-in-hand with the College of Business, I would love to have those names as we continue to grow. And we just ask each member to serve a 3-year term. And so we don't make it a life sentence.
Get an update on that? You've got our attention on the building.
Oh, yes. So they are working in every inch of that building. If you go in, it looks like ants. They're literally everywhere in there. The staff will move in the week of July 28th, and the faculty will move in the week right behind them. And then we'll start classes in mid-August. So,
cut a ribbon.
We will cut the ribbon on September 19th. I think it's tentatively set for 10 a.m., but they were confirming that with the governor's office. So please mark your calendars for September 19th. There'll be lots of communication coming out.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Anything else?
Nope. All good. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes the business of the academic committee.